All righty. Thank you, Jeremiah. The kids are all welcome to go downstairs and practice their Christmas program today. Yes, unbelievably, we are in the Christmas season, and I think I say it every year. Christmas is one of my favorite times of the year. I just love everything that goes with Christmas. I love the Christmas traditions that we have here at church with the Christmas caroling and the Christmas Eve service and the whole Christmas party and some of the things I get to do with some of your separate families. Those are fun, and I love what we are celebrating at Christmas time. I love going to birthday parties. Mary and I get to go to a lot of children's birthday parties, being in ministry for a long time. But the birth of Jesus is just something special. And it's the event in world history that kickstarted it all. It's very easy to get very, very busy. Obviously, Christmas time is the probably, for most families, the busiest time of year. If you've ever felt stress during the year, it's probably the end of the year where you're feeling the most stressed. Even I just went on vacation for Thanksgiving, got home, and had a good week, but a stressful week, trying to get back into routine and catch up on some things, and trying to buy Christmas gifts, go to parties, write 5,000 Christmas cards, do everything that you normally do during a week, and then add all the Christmas stuff on top. It can be very stressful. And the one thing we forget often, I think, sometimes at Christmas time, is the same person's birthday that we're celebrating this month, and who's the reason for the whole season of December, is the same person that came as the God of peace. And we allow ourselves to get so stressed out, so panicky sometimes about getting everything done. This is the time of year a lot of people freak out about finances and stuff, and we're spending a lot of money on Christmas and parties, and are we going to have enough for this? Are we going to have enough time to be there for so-and-so? And the list goes on and on. I just want to take a time this morning, before we really get into our big, big party time of the season with Jesus, just to remind us each of who Jesus was and the purpose of why he came. He came as the Prince of Peace. When the angels announced Jesus' coming, they announced peace on earth, goodwill to men. This was the time where God was going to bring his peace into the world in the flesh. God knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows what you celebrate and what you get excited about. He knows what scares you. He knows what worries you. And he knows what stresses you out. And the greatest stress we had in life, before we knew who Jesus was and before we knew what he did, was our guilt, our shame, and our sin, and what we were going to do with it. And Jesus comes along, and he removes that guilt, removes that shame, removes that stress of living under the burden of sin, and even for some of us, possibly trying to live under the law, trying to be good enough to earn our way in a place in heaven. Jesus comes along and says, you know what? You don't have to work. I'm going to offer you grace. God has offered you grace in the form of his son. We're going to take care of your sin problem. We're going to eliminate that. Just follow me. Go where I go, do what I do, and love who I love. And we often forget that at Christmas time. And this morning I'd like to show you three different aspects of the God of peace. Jesus was a lot of things to a lot of people. And we're reminded through Paul the apostle, but we are called to be many things to many people. But one of the greatest things Jesus was to the nations, and still is today, was the God of peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, the Messiah. I'd like to read Isaiah chapter 9. If you haven't read the book of Isaiah for a long time, this is a good time of year to read through Isaiah. We always talk about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You might as well count Isaiah as the fifth Gospel. Isaiah wrote his prophecy long before Jesus walked foot on earth. But Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Messiah is so detailed. And every part of what Isaiah wrote came to be and came true. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah is talking about this Messiah, the king that is going to come and save the people. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that." I love that. The zeal of the Lord Almighty is going to accomplish this. Jesus came as an agent of peace to bring peace into your life, to bring peace between you and God. That problem of sin that separated you and that put you at odds with your Creator, there was now going to be peace between you and your Heavenly Father. There was going to be peace of mind, peace in your heart. And Jesus came. First, if you look at verse 6, especially the first part of verse 6, we see that Jesus came with a ruling peace. He came to rule. And boy, if that doesn't give us some kind of peace today. In a time where we live, where rulers all over the world are usually governed by evil men and women, people get a little bit of power and it just goes to their hearts and goes to their heads. And they may start out with good intentions, but being of human mind and being of human heart, they get power hungry and we start to see evil creep in. But God came to rule here on earth. And here is a point we often forget or we don't stop and think. I love when he says, "To us a son is given." That means God chose to give us his son. That was no accident. It was no accident what time Jesus was born. It was no accident when in history he came to earth. And he was no accident in being a virgin birth. God chose to give his one and only son for you and for me. Think of it in this way. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we maybe take it for granted. If you can just for a second imagine you giving your son or your grandson to be mocked by the entire world, to be beaten, and finally hung on a cross to an unappreciated world. Think about that for just a second. Would you be willing to give your son, your grandson, to go through what Jesus was going to go through here on earth to offer the grace, love, and peace of God to a world living in darkness? I don't know if any of us would raise our hands and say, "Sign me up first. I'll give my son. I'll give my grandson to do that." Goodness gracious, when our little boys fall down, first thing we do is grab them, check out their knees, check out their hands, whatever. Mama's here, daddy's here. It's in our hearts, it's in everything that we are to protect them. God, in his ruling from heaven, gave his son Jesus to be mocked, beaten, and killed on a cross. That is amazing. And the problem is that we have heard this time and time again, and we get used to that. We talk about it every single Sunday. It's usually brought up in a communion meditation of what God did through his son Jesus, and we need to remember that every single week. A little bit of a problem there is though we get used to it. I just like to encourage you, maybe today or this Christmas time of year, try thinking about it for the very first time. Try to remember the very first time someone told you, maybe it was a mom or dad, some of you grew up in church, maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a friend at work, however you came to know the Lord. Try to remember the very first time you were told that God sent, gave his one and only son for you. If that doesn't give you a sense of peace, knowing that I have value, the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, the Lord of the entire universe, finds value in me to give his son up for me. That's the biggest Christmas message you're going to hear this year. God wanted peace between you and him so that he could have an everlasting relationship with you. And then you want to talk about a great burden in his ruling peace. It says, and the government will be on his shoulders. Wow. You know what that means? That's a lot. That is saying that he is in charge of everything, basically. Isaiah is saying he will come and from then on, he will be in charge for all eternity. Here on earth and in things in heaven, he is it. Now you think about that. Some of you worked your way up and where you are in the workplace. I've heard many stories of how you started out low and worked your way up to where you are today. It can be intimidating. It can be overwhelming. I'll admit, when I went from being a youth minister, not that youth ministers don't work hard and don't have a lot of responsibility and a very rewarding ministry, but when I went from being a youth minister, all of a sudden, okay, Joel, you're going to be the senior minister. And at the time, the church I was in, they were very much a preacher-led church and not so much an elder-led church. And I was overwhelmed. I got my hands in God. What are we going to do here? Teach me. Show me. Give me people. And he blessed with such great leadership in that church and such great elders and deacons that brought us and really grew that church. But point being, it can be overwhelming at times to have more and more responsibility added to you. Remember when you were a parent for the very first time? The doctor hands you that baby. What do I do with this? I was overwhelmed when Jaden came. I was like, I'm ready to move on to a different season in life. We're starting over, God. What are you thinking? It can be overwhelming to have more added to your plate. Think of Jesus. The government will be on his. Not only was your sin going to be on his shoulders, not only was he going to take on that burden, but from then on out, he was it. Don't forget, all things were made through him, all things were created for him, and now all things were going to be run by him. Satan is not allowed to touch you without his permission. And we know that Satan has been given reign here on earth. He runs loose and he can do what he wants to do, but we know that we have a defeated enemy. But know that nothing happens on planet Earth without Jesus knowing it and allowing that. And boy, does that give us peace. And it's hard to understand during times of tragedy and during times of hurt. But don't forget that same loving Father who loved you through life and loved your loved ones through life is the same loving Father who is going to love them for all eternity. People were created for God, not for us, and we need to remember that sometimes. There's one point that comes out here that Jesus was to be ruler of the earth. But think about how he ruled when he was here on earth, physically. How did Jesus rule? He ruled in peace. You didn't see Jesus assemble an army to take over the world. And boy, if anybody could have had an army, it would have been Jesus. In fact, he could have probably had the greatest supernatural army ever seen to man. Now, the Hebrews had the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant did some pretty miraculous things because of God when they took them, the Ark, before them in battle. Think of the army Jesus could have had with the legions of angels going before him. Jesus didn't do that. He ruled in peace. He did everything through peace, and peace can still rule today, even in your life. A great example in modern history, I didn't live through this, but I've watched documentaries about it, and I've read history books. Some of you, most of you lived through it. But in the 60s, when you had people fighting for civil liberties, civil freedoms, and equality, you had Dr. Martin Luther King, and you had Malcolm X. Martin Luther King was very much respected and remembered for his peaceful way of getting things done. He prayed over people, prayed over situations, had peaceful marches. Malcolm X had a different belief system. A lot of his talk was a lot of negative talk. A lot of his actions was a lot of violence. Get things done with the sword, basically. Two different ways of getting things done. Martin Luther King was much more successful in his peaceful way of going about doing it than Malcolm X ever could have imagined. We need to bring the heart of Jesus, not just into Christmas, but into our daily lives, to rule our homes with peace, to rule our churches with peace, rule our communities with peace. And for goodness sake, letting people know who don't know Jesus that they can have that kind of peace in their life. A peace without guilt. A peace without shame. A peace where you don't have to work so hard at trying to get your little foot into the door of heaven. Peace can rule on earth. And this is the method our Savior used. And that better be our method too here on earth as we think about Christmas time. So Jesus had this ruling peace about him. And number two, if you're following along in the outline, if you look at the second part of six, he had this power peace. I like to call it power peace. That sounds like it contradicts itself a little bit there. But don't forget, Jesus came in all power. Just because he was a man of peace didn't mean he was a wimp. Just because he was a man of peace didn't mean he was wishy-washy or trying to be a people pleaser. Jesus was definitely not a people pleaser, or else he wouldn't have hung on the cross for you and I. But Jesus had power. Look at the list that talks about Jesus here. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Highlight each and every one of those in your Bible. Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is one who knew what people were thinking. He understood human nature at its very core. He understands our hearts today. He knows what makes you tick. He knows how different you are than the rest of the world. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows how to answer and meet your personal needs, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and so on. Jesus eliminates confusion, and he gives us insight into eternal issues. That is one of the main purposes he came here to. To settle any confusion there was about who God is and what God expects and what God wants. If we could spend 15 minutes with Christ, we could learn more about ourselves than in years of human counseling. If we would spend 15 minutes a day with Jesus, you would learn so much more about yourself than any counseling book or counseling. Now, I'm not saying counseling bad. Counseling has, I send people to counseling. But nothing like the counseling you would receive from Jesus Christ. And the peace that would come with that counseling. That is why the Bible is so relevant today. Same issues, same problems, same worries that you have today, Jesus dealt with them 2,000 years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. Bible's very clear about that. Instead of going to Jesus as the last resort, before you call the counselor, before you call the preacher, before you call the best friend, get on your knees in your quiet place. Get in your word and just let Jesus speak to you first. You'll be amazed at how often the Bible speaks to the issues that matter most to you. You'll be amazed at that. Why? Because Jesus is a wonderful counselor. He is a great guide. And he will guide you through life if you let him. Mighty God. I love that phrase. He will be mighty God. The Bible does not teach that Jesus was formed in God's image. We are. We were created in the image of God. The Bible doesn't say that about Jesus. Jesus is the only human being that came to earth that does not say he was created in the image of God. Why? Because he is God. We like in our human minds to separate the Trinity. As if God the Father was the high-ranking one, Jesus the Son is the subordinate one, and then the Holy Spirit is the low-ranking one. Uh-uh. We often separate that Trinity into three different separate parts. Please, never forget, the Bible says they are one. So when Jesus is the mighty God, you better believe it. He is the same God who parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. He is the same God that walked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through the fiery furnace. He is the same God that shut the lion's mouth for Daniel in the lion's den. He is Jesus, the Almighty God. Through him, everything was made. And for him, everything was made. He is God Almighty. There is no hierarchy there. So, be it clear. When Jesus comes and you're finding peace for your life, know when you speak to Jesus, you're speaking to him, the Almighty One. He doesn't go and take your little message to somebody else. When you're speaking to God the Father and you're speaking to Jesus Christ, you are speaking to God. And when you are taking direction from the Holy Spirit and you are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you are listening to the voice of Jesus Christ, God the Father. They're three in one. They are all the same. The promises that Jesus made and the promises that he makes today, he most certainly fulfills because he is God Almighty. Not only is he wonderful counselor, not only is he mighty God, he is everlasting Father. That goes along with what I just said. There is no separation there. They're just different parts of who God is. One of the most annoying things about state and federal leaders is that they're always running for re-election. And we're hearing all about it on your phones and radios and TV and everything. The bad part is that they often act in ways that help their reputation so that they can get re-elected rather than sticking to their beliefs and going against the grain. Very rarely does a politician tell you what he really believes or what he really thinks, or what she really believes or really thinks. Policy is often determined by public opinion rather than the right or wrong way, or right or wrong thing to do. The good news is Jesus is not running for re-election. Never, ever. His term, according to Scripture, will never end. He does not have to campaign. He does not have to break promises to you and to me. He rules without concern for public opinion. Watch him. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything he said, almost everything he said, went against public opinion or public ideas of who God is or what God expected. He did things different. He talked different. He says, you heard that it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Jesus, I want you to love your neighbor. I want you to pray for those who persecute you. I want you to love your enemy. Consider your enemy even better than yourself. Show them mercy. Show them grace. That goes against a lot of what human nature and the heart of a human man or woman wants to do. He was just not the ruler of earth when he was here on earth. Scripture says he is ruler forever. And his rule will have no end. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but never Jesus. Man, glory to his name for that. Glory to his name for that. He will never promise you something that he won't fulfill. He will never tell you what you want to hear. Now, we're good sometimes at making Scripture say what we want it to say and twisting Scripture. But if you really read it for what it is, he will guide you and instruct you, and sometimes he's going to ask us to do things we don't want to do. Some of you hate being in situations where you don't know people and you have to talk to people. Those are introverts. Some of you are extroverts and you like to talk, and do all the talking. Sometimes God wants you to be quiet and be still and be the listener. For the introverts, sometimes God's going to have you speak. Sometimes he's going to have you teach. Sometimes he's going to have you go into places you don't want to go. Sometimes he's going to have you do things that you don't want to do. But he will never, ever promise you something and not fulfill it. And he has promised to go with you wherever he asks you to go and supply every need that you will have to do what he's asked you to do. And the last thing he's called here, he's called many things, but right here in our scripture, Prince of Peace, what we're talking about this morning. This powerful God that we are talking about did not come to wage war, but to be a reconciler between God and his people. Jesus came to reconcile sinful men and women to God. People with their pasts, their nations, their races, to have peace with each other. And it is possible through Jesus Christ. This mighty, powerful God's method of choice is peace. Never, ever force. Remember that when you're trying to beat God's word into one of your children or a friend or a coworker. My mom tried that a time or two on me. God used peace, never force. So Jesus had power. Point being is, in the descriptions that were given here, is to point out Jesus was no weakling. Don't ever mistake his peace for being weakness. He came in all power. Number three, in verse 7, and I'm going to read verse 7 one more time, we see his reigning peace. Jesus did come in power, but he came to reign. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I will admit, the first time I read verse 7, I was mighty confused. I didn't understand how peace was going to increase. I've watched Jesus and God do a lot of increasing. God increases our gifts and our talents. He increases the kingdom. The first time I read that, I was like, God, do you not see the world we live in? How is peace going to continue to grow? If you caught it, I realize that as his government increases, so will his peace. That means as his kingdom increases, there will naturally be more peace. That is why evangelism is so important. To add to the kingdom of God. Not for the sake of just saying, look how many people we baptized this last year. Look how many people I put in my pew this year. The more the kingdom of God grows, obviously the more people that are going to be saved. That's the number one benefit. People that get to live with their eternal Father forever and ever and have their sin removed just like you. But as the kingdom grows, peace grows. The grace of God grows. The love of God grows here on earth. You want to do something about what you don't like in your country? We hear a lot of grumbling right now about, oh, I don't like what the government's doing, and I hate this, and I hate that, and if they would just do that. I've sat around so many dinners and listened to that stuff. You want to fix any of that? Grow the kingdom of God. Grow his peace. Grow his love. Grow his grace. Scripture's very clear. As his government increases, there will be an increase with his peace. As his kingdom increases, so will his peace. Notice the fact that Isaiah mentions that he will be from the Davidic line. Sure enough, Joseph was. We know that. Joseph was from the Davidic line. It is amazing how many things had to be in place for God to come to earth and fulfill every promise. You don't think God has reigned here on earth before Jesus? He has had a plan from the very beginning. He has prophesied about that plan through his major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. Every detail happened. God has reigned throughout the Old Testament, and the same exact God reigned in the New Testament, and the same God reigns today. And he will do it all with great zeal. How many of you have ever wished that Christ were here on earth today? I used to think of that when I was a kid. I wish I lived in Jesus' time until I remember that there wasn't flush toilets and there wasn't running water and there wasn't all the stuff we enjoy today. But wouldn't it have been cool to walk when Jesus walked? Wouldn't it have been cool to be on the earth when Jesus was here? And then we remember one word in the Christmas story. A word that gets said a lot at Christmas time. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Anybody? Yep. You ever wished you lived in times where Jesus was here on earth? You do. God is with you. He's left his Holy Spirit. And I told you, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all one. God the Creator, who gave you life, is with you today, and he reigns with you today, and his government will see no end. We have an enemy here on earth, but he is defeated. He's already defeated. Why do we get scared? I mean, I like to watch boxing. Boxing is one of my sports that I like to watch. Mary thinks I'm nuts. Why do you want to sit there and watch guys beat each other on the head? My mom's the same way. Some of you women are shaking your head, yes. And I'm thinking, these guys get paid millions of dollars to go against these monsters. I'd be so afraid. I think that's why I'm impressed, because I'd be too scared to step in that ring. But there's guys that aren't. Maybe they're just too dumb and they do it anyway. Folks, we have an even greater enemy. And he's already been defeated. Christ defeated him on the cross. Why are we scared of him? Why are we scared of what he might do to us? Or what reputation he might take from us? Or what money he might take from us? Or what family members he might take from us? Scripture is very clear where his end is. He will be thrown into his own lake of fire and spend eternity in darkness. He's done. Focus. That's why we say Sunday after Sunday, keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the winner. He's the one reigning. Satan has no reign here on earth. Yeah, he gets to roam. He gets to roam and he gets to devour those that fall into his lies and traps. But we're on the winning side. Jesus came to reign, and that will never change. And he will be reigning with his peace forever and ever. If you don't like peaceful reign, I'm sorry, you better get used to it. Because if you're planning on going to heaven, that's how it's going to be. There aren't going to be Republicans and Democrats. There's not going to be a democracy. We're not going to be voting on things. You will not get to choose the color of the pavement in heaven. It's already chosen. It's gold. All right? You won't be making those decisions. Get used to peaceful reign. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Get used to the worship. It's peaceful worship. Nobody's complaining about the songs. Nobody's complaining about the hymnals. You hear people say, you know what, I just don't like these praise choruses because you sing the same thing over and over and over again. You know, that's fine if that's not your taste. Have you read Revelation? You know what the scriptures, you know what the worship's like? They sing over and over and over again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's no verse numbers there. There's just peace. We were given a little bit of that sample of what heaven's going to be like when Jesus walked the earth. And he came to rule. And he came to rule with power. But he was a man of peace. So I want to encourage you to remember this Christmas season. And we got a month now. You got a whole month to prepare for 2020. Remember every day. If you want to write these down and remind yourself every day, God is a God of peace. Make sure your home is a home of peace. It starts in your home. God does not promote violence, and that including verbal violence. If you're used to yelling at your spouse, yelling at your children, yelling at your community, whatever the case may be, writing nasty letters, whatever, however you... God does not promote violence in life or in eternity. God is peace. In the midst of the busiest time of year, I'm going to ask you to stop. Make this year different. Stop doing everything that you are doing right now. And I literally mean that. If you're taking notes or whatever, put your pen down right now. Put your bottle of water down. I'm going to ask each and every one, our invitation is going to be completely different today. I want to say before I finish the invitation, if today while we're doing this, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, you do that today. You come forward with me. I will pray with you. We will get you through your conversion process. We will get you baptized. And I can't think of a greater gift to give Jesus Christ this year than your very own life. If you need to do that, I invite you to come forward this morning. For the rest of us, I'm going to ask you right now, close your eyes. Everyone. Close your eyes. I'm sorry, Greg and Susie accept you. We're going to do the invitation. Unless Susie can play with our eyes closed. Close your eyes. Focus on the God of peace. That's all I'm asking you to focus on right now. Not what's for lunch today, not about caroling tonight and the soup that you got to make or whatever. Focus your heart, focus your mind right now on the God of peace and the peace that he has brought to your life, knowing full well you don't have to answer for your sin. You don't have to answer for your guilt. You don't have to answer for your wrong way of thinking sometimes, or when you lashed out at somebody, or when your feelings were hurt and you held a grudge. You don't have to answer for any of that right now or forever. Close your eyes and focus on the God of peace. And that is what Christmas is about. Not about gifts, not about parties, not about, the list can go on and on and on. It's about peace. That's the very first thing the angel said. Peace is coming into your world. Peace is coming into your life. And this morning, after we're done with the announcements and the greetings, I want to invite you to go in peace. And don't ever forget it. We're going to sing Blessed Assurance. I'm guessing a lot of you know the words, so you don't need to open your eyes. Keep your eyes closed as Greg sings and sing along. And sing those words to Jesus this morning. You have a blessed assurance that God is who he says he is. And he is the God of peace. Let's sing and let's give our hearts and our attention to God for the next 2 minutes.